Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Thursday, which means it's time for the Coach Approach. And with me, as always on Thursdays, the man, 49ers cutback. And how you doing, buddy?
Doing great. And this is the time of year that I love the most. But it's an absolute grind going through all these draft picks. John, me and you were talking about how you're already 300 plus in, which is insane. Congratulations to you and the rest of your crew, the Rush group that does all this stuff and all this hard work. You guys put in the time and the hours, and just being able to grind at this point is crazy. And it's constant. It's just a constant evolution. It's a constant moving thing, the draft. It's so interesting the way players are moving up and down. And every time that somebody gets their eyes on somebody new, it kind of thrusts them one way or the other. And it's just an interesting time, but I love it.
Yeah, it's weird. So like this morning, I'm finishing up my final safety write-ups today. Like I'm not going to do any new players after today. And then I'm moving stuff around. You know, I'm just like, you know what? I actually like this player here. I docked this player too much for character. His tape is here. Let's flag him. Let's don't double penalize the player. Like I moved Mike Green up considerably today because I was like, you know what? I knocked him down my rankings to like 20, but his tape says top 10, but I flagged him for the off the field stuff, which I think is appropriate, but should that affect his ranking? You know what I mean? So quick question that, yeah, did not prepare Ant for, so sorry about this, but man, I love this show so much. It's so funny because I've been recording a lot with other people lately, which I usually don't do. I usually just record with like you and Wayne and that's it. But man, I get so much positive feedback on this show every Thursday. So I want to say thank you to everybody for reaching out and let me know and how just, man, people love Ant. They want more Ant. We need more cowbell. And so how do you justify players like Josh Simmons or Mike Green or James Pierce? Do you move them up and down your board because of off the field medical character, or do you grade them based on tape only and don't dock them, but kind of pull them off? Does that make sense? How do you handle these discrepancies? Whatever it's like, man, that tape is top 10, but how do you slot those guys?
Yeah, I do move for medical reasons. I think that there are certain medical concerns that I feel the 49ers would move a player up and down their board or even potentially off their board if they're concerned about it. I think it's a little bit more difficult for us, especially when it comes to off the field issues, especially when you don't know exactly the entire story. You have to kind of bet on what the 49ers are going to do. So it's interesting that you have those guys. I think Mike Green is interesting to me because I think all the red flags of the off the field issues at one point were kind of pushing him down. I think the fact the 49ers are doing such due diligence with him means they're very interested in the prospect. And so like you, I've been thinking Mike Green's more of a possibility at 11 than I ever have before, maybe since the Senior Bowl. So I think that this is kind of that what I'm talking about. It's a living, breathing thing, the draft, and people move up and down the boards depending on how comfortable they get with each prospect's off the field, medical, whatever it may be. And I think this is one of those ones that's just interesting when it comes to Green and Simmons. I think Simmons would be my number one tackle on the board every day. I think it'd be a top five pick, but I have him as a late first round pick or an early second round pick because of the injury concerns. And I think that's how the 49ers would kind of view him as well. For Mike Green, I don't know anything that has to do with his off the field issues as far as what those actually are. So right now I'm just going strictly tape with him and James Pierce. That's all I actually know about him.
Yeah. And it's so like, again, you know, on my War Room big board, which comes out next week to all our subscribers of the 49ers Rush and our Patreon channel, like they're just color coded. They've got an orange, a red, or a blue tag. No tags are good tags, but like I have Mike Green 9. Is he on your board or is he not? And Vader says, Howie Roseman said they don't have any player on their board with sexual assault issues. That's the thing. Half the NFL will remove Mike Green. The other half won't. The Cowboys, they don't color code their, like, that doesn't matter to them. The Chiefs, are you kidding me? Andy Reid has no issues whatsoever, no matter what you do to women and children, even if it is allegedly or if it's been proven in court multiple times. They don't care. What do the 49ers do? The one thing I can say, and I go back to this all the time, they have met with him not once, but twice in the past 30 days. Two times. So it is there. So let me throw out some big board rankings, and you tell me too high, too low, or you like it. And these are character guys. So I have Mike Green 9.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's probably where he should go. I think if you're just looking at tape, I think if this was 2 weeks ago, I think the concerns about the off the field would probably push him down into the 20s, but this isn't 2 weeks ago. And for whatever reason, these red flags don't seem to be hurting his stock any. So I don't know how much to put into it. I think just the same way that Howie Roseman said sexual assault, no bueno, that would be how it is for me as well. But I just don't know, because you don't know the circumstances. Without knowing that, I just have to judge what I do know. If I was on the inside, I would say probably 9 is too high if there was actually something there. In fact, if there was an actual sexual assault there, he would not be on my board at all. He would be gone. So the fact that he is still around and there's not a lot of hoopla around him, I think 9 is where he belongs.
Yeah, and like, again, part of my process, like Kyron Lacy, LSU wide receiver, like, he's got a murder charge on him right now. But like, he's in the draft and it's pending and whatever else. So like, I did a draft write-up on him. Again, they would be off my board, but I don't remove anybody from my board. I rank them accordingly and just kind of tag them. Okay, so here's the next one. What about Alfred Collins? Okay, I have a top second round grade on him. Defensive tackle, amazing rush stuff for Texas. He had a boot on his leg at the pro day. It's an injury issue. Do you knock him down? Do you, wherever you had him, let's say you had him at 40, whatever, do you push him down even more now that that is an issue?
Not for a walking boot. I think if this was an ACL or an Achilles or, you know, something like that where you feel like it's going to go into the season, then I'd be concerned about it. But being in a walking boot, it could mean a lot of different things. And it could be a stress fracture in the foot. It could be an ankle sprain. They're just trying to get it better, quicker. There's a lot of things you could have with the ankle or with the walking boot. So I'm not concerned about it. I would still put Alfred Collins in the second round. To me, he's one of the best interior defensive linemen in this draft, one of the best run stoppers for sure. So, I wouldn't move him out of the second round. I could see teams being a little leery of a big man having a lower body injury. But for the most part, that maybe pushes him down half a round at most. I just think he's too good of a prospect to move him around too much.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. All right, that was a fun talk. I like that talk. Right here, Alan says, Johnny, I plan to end up with the most starters coming out of this draft. You kind of have to, which I do not like, but you kind of set yourself up for that by punting on free agency and not bringing in really much at all. So, you have to hit on several key positions in this draft. And they have 11 picks. They have the most picks. They have premium picks, pick 11, 43, 75. Those are premium picks, but you got to use them correctly. And the second half of today's show, which I'm super excited about, we're going to do a WTF mock draft. We're going to go full Shanahan. You never go full Shanahan. We're going to go full Shanahan, and we are going to take picks that we don't like and see how it pans out through four rounds. Not a full craziness. I can't, my brain doesn't have the endurance for that, but I want to see, like, let's just say, at the first pick, second pick, third pick, they just go crazy. What would that look like? If Shanahan gets that second round running back, oh, what would that look like? Anyway, that's the second half of today's show. Dane says, John, how can I get your draft report? The49ersRush.com. If you are a subscription on any level, starting as low as $2 a month, or our Patreon, all in the links of the description of my channel. That will be out next week to all of them. I will also make it available to purchase if you don't want to subscribe. But in the meantime, that's not ready till next week. What you need to do right now is you need to go to Ant's Patreon, patreon.com/ 49ers cutback, right? Cutback. It's not the, it's just 49ers cutback.
Just 49ers cutback.
That's what you got to do right now. Support the legend. Man, his breakdowns, A++++. So here we go. Next question. 49ers offseason program begins, not officially OTAs, April 22nd. Do you believe that Brock Purdy and this his agent will have the deal done by April 22nd? Will Brock be signed by then? Yes or no?
I don't know. I think that this might be a little bit too soon. We're talking, you know, a few weeks now that this deal would have to get done. To me, that seems like it's really quick. So I don't know about the potential of it getting done. I think that's what each side wants to have happen. I think Brock Purdy really wants to be there for all of the offseason workouts. I think the 49ers would love to get this deal done, but I just don't think it's going to happen. I think it's more likely to happen after the draft and probably sometime in May. I think they will get this thing done because I do think there's motivation from both sides. And every time there's motivation from both sides, something is always possible. But the 49ers are definitely trying to keep the overall numbers as low as possible. And so I think that this thing's going to stretch out a little bit further, but they are not going to run the risk of this getting into training camp at all. And so they're going to get this thing done May or June. I think it'll be done before we ever touch July. I just don't know. April 22nd seems a little bit fast.
Yeah. It, you know, I put this poll out this morning just an hour ago. So we had about 200 votes. 44% said yes. 55% said no to the deal. I'm going to be in the no as well, which, you know, I don't like being the negative Nancy or whatever, but like, man, I just don't have a lot of faith in the 49ers negotiating strategy or history, perhaps. So, like, it kind of seems, and again, I don't like doing these bits in the show, but listening to what Kyle Shanahan and Jed York said, their deal's out there. They're just kind of waiting on the Brock if he wants to get it done or not. So, I don't know. I'm staying away from that one. I'm staying away from that one. Yeah, right here, Silent. Appreciate you, man. He says, cut up idea. Prove Kyle right on Jake Brandle. Nah. Go ahead, Ant.
This one's difficult. I do think that there is probably some more criticism that goes, especially Colt McKivitt's way. I think sometimes Colt McKivitt does a little bit better than people expect. I thought his turnaround from his first year as a starter to his second year as a starter, he was definitely a lot better. So they showed a vast improvement. I think with Jake Brendel, you just know what you're going to get. And for whatever reason, Chris Foerster and Kyle Shanahan are more comfortable with that. But it's not always that he can't get to the block. His problem is he can't maintain that block. A lot of the guys we're talking about in this draft, they have vice grips, and they're able to get on guys and not let them go. That's not Jake Brendel. And then also, if he gets matched up against the wrong defensive tackle, he can't anchor. And so those are some of the concerns. A lot of the things that the 49ers do in the offense protects players like Jake Brendel. And this has been a mode kind of that the 49ers have done the entire time that Kyle Shanahan's been the offensive coordinator, offensive head coach, is they get guys that can move. So when you get guys that can move, a lot of times you're going to lose an anchor. That was one of the reasons I love Dominic Pooney, was he could move, but he had the anchor. And I think that's what they're trying to find. But the willingness to move on from Jake Brendel doesn't seem to be there. I think they feel like he still breaks that threshold, which I think is going to drive a lot of people crazy. And I think that right now he's going to be the answer at center, unless we get something from Matt Hennessy that we didn't expect to, you know, expect to see from Chris Foerster deciding to go that direction. But for whatever reason, he just can't quit Jake Brendel.
He can't. And I'll say this, if you wanted me to be all positive on Jake Brendel, tough as nails, Mr. Durability, Iron Man, gets the right calls and seems to be loved in the locker room by coaches and teammates. That is my positive spin, and I will leave it at that. That was very difficult for me, but that's okay. I'm not going to let any negativity through like Jake Brendel's trying to stop it. I'm just going to stop it. It's just what it's going to be. So, springtime is here, and baseball season is officially underway. Don't miss your chance to add your favorite players from the diamond in your Prize Picks lineups. Whether it's strikeouts, RBIs, or first inning runs, take your pick of more or less for your shot to win up to 1,000 your cash today. On Prize Picks, you can mix and match players' projections from different sports, combine your favorite baseball players with your players from basketball, hockey, esports, and much more. Also, Prize Picks offers Venmo, Apple Pay, MasterCard, and more for quick, easy deposits into this sports season. So sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. So head over to prizepicks.com or you can go to the app, download the app today and use code 49ers, 49ERS, to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Again, go to prizepicks.com or download the app and use code 49ers to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. April is Financial Literacy Month. That's right. They made a whole month reminding you to finally take control of your money. Good news, you don't need 30 days. Acorns makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future in just 5 minutes. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorn lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if it's only spare change. I love Acorns, and I've used it for over 3 years now because if I'm busy, it takes care of it. If I have time to spend a lot of time in research, that option's there too. So sign up now and join over 14 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $25 billion with a B, billion dollars with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/49ers, that's 49ERS, or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers. I have another question. This comes from Jonathan H., the man. He was wondering, talking offensive line. Why not? We got Ant on the show. We're talking O-line. He was wondering about the long-term plan for the offensive line. How long is Trent going to play? This is the last year for Colton McKivitz. Even if you're in love with your center, he's only signed for 2 more years. Ben Barch on a 1-year deal and didn't really get paid starter money. So, like, after this year, the 49ers have been notorious for redshirting players. You can't do that anymore because you lost 8 starters and replaced none. What is the long-term plan on the offensive line? Do you move, Dominique Pooney to left tackle? A more premium position or even left guard? Let's start there. Do you think Dominique Pooney is concrete, nothing but right guard right now?
I think so. I think when you look at the potential of what he could do, his best position is going to be offensive guard. I think this is where he's got all pro potential. I think you could move him to right tackle, but I think some of the concerns that people had of him coming out of the draft had to deal a lot with his quickness out on the edge against faster edge defenders. Those guys who had the quick first step, those types of things could give him problems. Inside, his lateral quickness is plenty good enough. His anchor is fantastic. So I get the idea of moving a guy like Dominique Pooney to the outside. I just think he is really set on the inside, and I think he'll be a consistent interior player for years to come. But it might be enticing for a lot of people to move that guy out because of how good he was last year. But I think if they let him marinate and get a little bit better, that he's going to be an all-pro guard. And I'd rather have an all-pro guard, than an average offensive tackle. I think you just got to make sure you have, some of the positions locked down. I think he does have guard locked down.
Yeah, I like it. And also, not sure if it was intentional, but I love the letter kitty reference. You're going to let that marinate. okay, what about this? Left guard is a premium, more valuable spot, typically because you have right-handed quarterbacks. It's the backside, and you usually pull the backside guard a little bit more. Pooney played left tackle almost exclusively at Kansas. Do you even flirt with moving them to the left guard spot? Or nope, it works. It ain't broke. Don't fix it.
I actually think that that's a possibility. I think when you look at what they did with Aaron Banks when he was first drafted, he also was put at right guard, even though he had been a left guard his entire time at Notre Dame. And then they eventually moved him back to left guard, and it was a seamless transition because once you've been familiar with playing one side of the offensive line, you've got a consistency with it. You've got, your comfort factor with being able to slide out of it, having the left foot back, having the left hand down. Like, there's certain things that just feel a little bit different going from one side to the other, but he's proven that he can do it. So I don't think that that would be a problem. And flipping him to left guard would make a lot of sense because Spencer Burford was a right guard. And so you could go more to the natural type of thing if you're wanting to go those two young guys, which I think was originally the plan before Burford broke his hand and kind of struggled a little bit last year. So I wouldn't be opposed to that, but I do see some guys in this draft that you could plug and play at left guard as well. But Dominic Pooney on the move, I don't think would shock me. It'd be more likely for him to go to left guard than I think to go to offensive tackle.
Or center, right? Like,
right.
I would love that, but I don't see it either, but I'd be cool with it. Okay, so we're talking about, man, Tripp, maybe 1, maybe 2 years. Colton, 1 year. Brindle, maybe 1, maybe 2 years. Barch, 1 year. When Kyle Shanahan was asked, like, are you approaching any more veteran players? And he said, no, we're focused on the draft. Like, all right. So now, are the 49ers even going to draft an offensive lineman? And, you know, you put in the notes earlier, and I like this. When is too late? When is it too late? Because let's say the 49ers don't go first round like they did last year. They don't go second round offensive line like they did last year. They hit a home run in the third. Do you try to replicate that? What does this board tell you whenever you're looking through this draft class? When is too late to address the offensive line? Because you might get pigeonholed here and be stuck next year with replacing 4 starters on the offensive line.
Yeah, I think when it comes to interior offensive line, it's deeper. You can go further into this draft and find a interior offensive lineman that can compete. And I think when you look at the 49ers, you know, drafts over the last few years, that's what we've seen. Spencer Burford in the 4th round, Nick Sakel in the 6th round. It's kind of been that comfort factor of being able to get those guys that can slide inside later in drafts. I think the question is, where is the threshold for an offensive tackle? You know, is that the 3rd round? I think there's a potential there for some really good 3rd round picks. Maybe a guy like Arianti Ursari slides a little bit. I've seen some people thinking he's going to slide. He's got the potential to kick out as a tackle with the arm length and the athleticism and how well he played against some key players, you know, during this season. So I think that there is a threshold. I think it's 3rd round to find a guy that could potentially kick out the right tackle right away. I think there are some late 4th round guys that I like that I think are developmental. A guy like Chase Lunt, I still think when it comes to run blocking, cutting off the backside on zone scheme, he just does it better than almost anybody. And so I think that there's guys like that. Logan Brown as well, I think, could be a offensive tackle guy. But there is nobody, and I mean absolutely nobody, when you get out of round 1, maybe early round 2, that could potentially replace Trent Williams at left tackle. I think everyone we're looking at are either right tackle prospects or interior offensive line prospects, and that's the issue. When do you get that guy that eventually replaces Trent Williams? And so far, the 49ers haven't been willing to pull the trigger. I think if you're going to pull the trigger on it, this is the year. Go ahead and do it at, pick 11. But I just don't know if the 49ers are going to do it. It seems like the conversation John Lynch had with the media was more so, we need to figure out left guard, and it had nothing to do with left tackle, nothing to do with right tackle, which I think is an interesting perspective where I don't know if they're willing to prepare for it now. Maybe Trent told them, you got 2 more years, and they're going to wait and worry about this next year in the draft or free agency. But it's an interesting dynamic to this draft is when you go offensive line.
Yeah, I'm looking at my board, like Miles Frazier, who the 49ers are meeting with right now, LSU guard. I have a 4th. He might be my highest ranked 4th. So like you get him 3rd to 4th round. Logan Brown, I have a 4th round. Like, and those guys have question marks. But if you told me you got somebody like a Tate Ratledge out of Georgia in the 3rd round, oh my God, I love that guy. You tell me you get, you know, Charles Grant in the 3rd round. Awesome. Charles Lunt. Yeah. Now I'm cool with that. So you got 2 3rd rounders. I would really, really like more. I would really, really like more. Silent. I like this question. We'll take it position by position. How do you stack this O-line D-line class with the last 2 years? So let's start offensive line. Do you like this offensive line class more, the same, or less than the past 2 classes?
I like it less. I think last year's offensive line class was phenomenal, especially when you're talking first round talent, but also a draft that saw some really good players go later on. You know, I know like Roger Rosengarten hasn't turned out to be a consistent player yet, But that's a second round offensive tackle that you felt had some upside and could develop a good pass blocker. And then you talk about guys later on. I mean, the Niners got Dominic Pooney in the third round. I don't think those types of players exist in the third round this season. I think it's a little bit, you know, different type of prospect this year compared to, I would take Dominic Pooney over Anthony Belton and over Ozzie Jabillo and over all those guys that are kind of in that area. He's just way further along in development. So I think it lacks the depth, but it also lacks the top end as well, where I think a lot of these offensive tackles would have been pushed down probably to the 49ers. At 31 last year, if you had these guys in that draft, the 49ers would have went offensive tackle because you would have had a really good player. But instead, all those tackles were gone and the 49ers went wide receiver.
Yeah, I think there were like five or six tackles that were gone last year. Now, defensive line class, exact opposite. I would take this D-line class over the past two. And so guess where your biggest needs are? Two defensive tackles and a defensive end. Like, you don't have starters. You have one starting defensive lineman on your entire roster currently. Do you agree with the D-line assessment that, man, this year is head and shoulders better?
Yeah, it is. I mean, this defensive line, especially defensive tackle, is so deep. I can't remember a defensive line draft being this deep where you got guys that are just so talented. And you get into rounds four, rounds five, and you still have guys who have some sort of an elite skill set that you can find a way to work. You know, a guy like Aeneas Peebles, who is such a great pass rusher, well, you've got Evan Anderson. So if you got to round five, you could pair him up with Evan Anderson and say, okay, Anderson, you play the first two downs, go stop the run. Aeneas Peebles, you go in there and rush the passer. So you can find ways to get a lot of potential production out of defensive tackles. So that's why I like this defensive line draft and probably what the 49ers have been eyeing for the last 2 years, with scouts telling them, hey, this is when all these defensive linemen are going to kind of hit. This is when we really need to strike. And that's what they're potentially going to do. Hopefully they get two, three defensive tackles, but it is a deep defensive line draft.
Oh, man, I love it. Look at Rusty. He's good with the Aristotelian logic. So do we do a Pooney for defensive tackle this year? If you want a third round do-it-all guy, I think it would be CJ West, Indiana, if he fell that far. Maybe Joshua Farmer. Those are kind of your plug-and-play, do-it-all type guys that I expect to go around the third round. Is there any other name? Maybe a Ty Robinson? Somebody else that jumps out to you in that range? That is a do-it-all, plug-and-play defensive tackle in the third or fourth?
I think those guys make the most sense when you're talking do-it-all, because they're good run stoppers already that have developmental pass rush skills. You know, once again, you've got guys that are usually one or the other once you get to like third, fourth, fifth round. But with CJ West, I think he does show a lot of upside when it comes to pass rush. He's so athletic that I think there's a potential there for him to be able to push the pocket, but also have the necessary lateral quickness to put pressure on offensive guards, which I think is important. And then you brought up Joshua Farmer. It's the elite length for Joshua Farmer. 35-inch arms, the ability to win with a straight arm, being able to get that initial push, but also the quickness and athleticism to get some things done as well. I think he's flown under the radar. I don't think a lot of people talk about him. They want to talk about other people, especially, you know, players like CJ West, who are great talents. But Farmer is a three tech that you could potentially get late round three, early four, that I think could make an impact year one and beyond.
Yeah, I like him. I mean, the way he's built is just like, okay, you are an expanded – he's a defensive end that, like, you took on Microsoft Paint and just, like, enlarged. You know what I'm talking about? Like, he's got the long arms, the athleticism. He doesn't have bad body weight on him. Like, he is jacked. He's just huge. And so, yeah, very, very fun player. Now – for all of you guys talking about the draft, y'all got to come out with this. Ant's going to be there. Diamador Lenore is coming to our draft party, which is incredible. So Thursday, April 24th for round one, we're going to be at Broadway Studios. Thanks to the wonderful TheMattressGuyCO.com sponsoring this event and helping us to get such a premium player. You get to meet the Hyena, my favorite player on the 49ers roster. It's official. It was Dre Greenlaw. He has passed on to greener pastures, perhaps, but Diamador Lenore. Kids get it free with a ticketed adult. All you got to do is go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Get your tickets. It's only $20 a piece. Raffles, giveaways, trivia, live draft analysis, 49ers-centric, Big screens. It's going to be incredible. Party with the Faithful. We'll be there days one and day two. Demo will just be there day one. But day two is going to be for all the hardcore draft Knicks. Me and Anthony will be broadcasting live, breaking down every single pick, who the 49ers should not. Go get your tickets, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go get that done. And again, thanks to the Mattress Guy Company. If you got a mattress you're trying to get rid of, go to themattressguyco.com. You just fill out an appointment. They come by, pick it up. You don't have to do anything. So themattressguyco.com. He is a diehard Niners fan. He's going to be at the party with us. And environmental friendly. They take care of everything. So simple. They service all of the San Francisco greater area. Themattressguyco.com. So go check that out. Now, I hope you're ready. It's about to get crazy, my friend. It is time to do a crazy mock draft. Now, if you are here with us, just understand we are going to purposefully make some crazy picks. This is if Shanahan goes full on crazy and the Niners just throw the most like weird knuckleballs in the draft, what it would look like. So we're not just going to pick random players that don't fit. We are going to justify our picks, why Kyle Shanahan would want this or why the 49ers might do this. This is going to be weird. Do not hold us, you know, liable for this. And let's see how it goes. How are you feeling about starting this one, Ant? This is going to be a weird one.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I kind of like weird. You know, let's get weird. Let's see what happens if the 49ers do some crazy stuff. If Kyle Shanahan's. And I think that's what's always interesting. There's always that moment that you just don't know. You think you got it, and then you get stuff like what happened with the Jake Moody pick where you've got your mouth open and, you know, and Brian Carter's sitting there like, what just happened? Like, those are the moments that I think I look forward to in the draft where it's just shocking. Just shocking.
We will not be drafting a kicker. All right, we're going to start this draft. Cam Ward goes 1, Shadur 2, Travis Hunter 3, Mason Graham 4, Abdul Carter 5. Once you get to that point, I'm just letting it roll. Jinty's off the board, so we can't do that. And so it's Jahad Campbell and Tet McMillan. So here we go. This is the big board that is there. And again, I'm going to constantly say this so I don't get too much hate mail. This is a crazy worst-case scenario mock draft where if the 49ers just go crazy. So here's who's on the board. Jahdae Barron, Malachi Starks, Armon Mimbu, Mike Green, Will Johnson, Luther Burden, James Pierce, Ezraku, Kenneth Grant, Josh Simmons, Egbuka, Kelvin Banks, Golden, Nolan. Yeah, all those guys. Mikael Williams, Shamar Stewart. He is definitely on my short list of what could go wrong in the first round. Who is another player, Ant, that you're looking at that's just like, man, I really don't want that?
I think Luther Burden. You know, I like Luther Burden. I think he fits what the 49ers, you know, like to do, especially the Z receiver, the intermediate winner. He can win over the middle, create after yards after the catch. But the concern is, I don't know if you can take a receiver again this high, and not the best receiver in the draft, probably receiver 4 or 5, in my opinion. So I think that even though he's a fit and probably the closest comp to Deebo Samuel that's in this draft, I don't know if you just go steady replacement, but I would worry Kyle Shanahan would say, you know what? We lost Deebo. We need to fill that role. Even though we just drafted Ricky Pearsall and potentially Luther Burden going 11, I think would be a little rich. I see him further down the list, you know, late first round, early second round for Luther Burden. But at 11, what happens if Kyle Shanahan says, you know what, we just got to go that way?
We got to get that wide receiver. I have a second round grade on Luther Burden. He is my 4th wide receiver. He's a good player. But yeah, it would irk me to say the least. He's a good player, but man, yeah, that's rough. So I'm sitting here and I'm like, okay, Luther Burden or, yeah, why not Shamar Stewart? Y'all tell us, Shanahan, dive into being your John Malkovich self. Like, you are in the Shanahan brain. Who do you think Shanahan would want more? It's between these two, Shamar Stewart or Luther Burden. Y'all got to tell us, and we'll see whoever says it. But if you're talking to Kyle Shanahan, Ant, which one do you think he would rather have?
I think just from what I know about Shanahan and what he did when he was the O coordinator in Houston, he would probably say Shamar Stewart because he'd want to go big defensive end. And we know that that's how the 49ers have built their team in the past. And this is a guy just that has zero production. I mean, just zero production playing at Texas A&M. So I get it, right? You've seen everyone's production fall off when they play at Texas A&M. But I just, to me, this one makes me the most nervous of a player that is boom or bust. It's either going to be great or it's going to be bad. But when you look at the athletic profile and what Kyle Shanahan loves to have along the defensive line, Shamar Stewart fits.
I think, you know, the votes are about 50-50. Burden might have a couple more, but I'm going to go Shamar Stewart here with our first pick. So I hate it. I'm a Longhorn, but that's not why I hate it. I hate it because he has two sacks, and that's his career high through three seasons. Yeah, he's one of the most athletic defensive ends in the history of the sport. But, yeah, man, he's good against the run. He's not even great against the run. He's good against the run. I would absolutely not like that pick, but you did get a position of need. Now, the 49ers are on the clock at pick 43. Demetrius Knight, Tyleik Williams, Trey Amos, Landon Jackson. Again, this is not what we would do. This is if the draft goes completely wrong, and it's all curveballs, wild cards. Maxwell Hairston, Siobhan Reville, Princely, Jaden Higgins. He's got to be on the list here for Shanahan. He did get his wide receiver early.
Right.
Cam Scataboo. Oh, God, that's gross. JT Tumalau, Swissinger, Quinshaw Judkins. He's got to be on the list. Jack Sawyer, Darian Porter, Ursary. Let's see here. Yeah, Dylan Sampson, speed guy. Donovan Jackson. I would love Donovan Jackson. CJ West, Travion Henderson. Yeah, there's a lot of guys here. What are your thoughts? Are you seeing any other names that like kind of pique your interest in the Shanahan type way? Trey Harris?
I think it's got to come down to Travion Henderson and Jaden Higgins. I think when you're getting to this point, right, you're looking for somebody that can fill a hole. And I think there's a lot of Kyle Shanahan in both of those players, the things that he values, right? Jaden Higgins is a great route runner, still has the big arms, is a good hand catcher, can produce, get in and out of his breaks well. I think there's a tremendous amount of value there at 43. I just think when you look at the needs, right, you got to go defensive line at some point. And so that would be the Shanahan version of it. But then when you look at Travion Henderson, if ever there was a back in the second round that fit what Kyle Shanahan was looking for and a guy that has a tremendous amount of upside, it's Travion Henderson. I don't know if he could choose a running back, though, over the wide receiver. Like, where are you going to find another Jaden Higgins in this draft? I think that's a little bit more difficult to find where this is so deep at running back. And it's not round three yet. I think in round three, running back makes sense. But I think those are the two Shanahan kind of potential targets in this round if you're looking to go worst case scenario.
It's funny. I have them rated back to back. I have Travion Henderson 38, and I have Jaden Higgins 39 on my board. So they're both kind of these athletic freaks that fit a premium position. I love Jaden Higgins. You need an X wide receiver. You know, I used to be around for a while, but Jaden Higgins can play all three. You can kind of see where that is. Look at this. Nick Parra, the Godfather. Appreciate the super chat. Hope to see a lot of the faithful at the draft party. Please help and support the best there is. John Chapman, those are his words, not my words. And my bro, the mattressguyceo.com. Go Niners. Yes. Man, thank you, Nick. Can't wait to be together. He's flying out from Jersey for the draft party. Man, can't wait to see Nick. He's such if you've ever been around Nick, you know he's the funnest and most. He's got the most necklaces on at the event. So if you see somebody with five necklaces on, just say, "Are you Nick?" And the answer is yes. He is as great and generous a guy that exists in the world. Thank you so much, Nick. Yeah, come support us. Support us. So we're taking Jaden Higgins here. Is that what we're doing?
Well, the crazy thing is, too, I actually really like Jaden Higgins, the player. I think that if you're going wide receiver, it makes sense for Kyle to go wide receiver needing an X receiver. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. And so, again, this is a full wild card draft, not what we think would happen. And do we think all these will happen? No. But if you've been following the 49ers since Kyle Shanahan showed up, you know there's going to be one or two curveballs. And these are the type of curveballs that I think – are possible to be in those situations, and that's why we're doing this. We're only going through four rounds, so we've got a couple more picks. So we took Shamar Stewart. I don't like that one, but it's a huge position of need. We took Jaden Higgins, elite ceiling, not a lot of production. Now we're back up at pick 75. We don't have a defensive tackle, but there are running backs available. And Kyle, Are you thinking 75? Or are you thinking we've got to get a running back this or the next pick, right?
I would think 99, or I mean 100. Now it is, but because this is what he's done, right? That comp pick area is, he says it's a fourth round pick, right? So now you can just take flyers on whoever, and I think that's where he finds value, is kind of that spot. And I think there's some guys that are going to be available there. So I think that's probably where we should go running back.
Okay, so we're going to wait on running back. Ozzie Trapillo, Chris Paul Jr., they're big on him. Marcus Bow, Terrence Ferguson, Vernon Broughton, Joshua Farmer, we talked about him. We've got to get a defensive tackle soon. Jordan Phillips, Trey Harris, we already got a wide receiver. Jared Wilson, no way they're drafting a center. Kyle Shanahan will not allow us to do that in a WTF draft. Kevin Winston, RJ Harvey, we already got a wide receiver. Jalen Royals, we already got a wide receiver. Tate Ratledge, no. Savion Williams, another possibility. Makuba, Charles Grant, David Walker. Man, I'm thinking, I'm sitting here looking, and I'm like, you know what? Joshua Farmer, they're going to get a defensive tackle at some point. Is there another name that you're just like maybe more interested in?
Not when it comes to defensive tackle. I think there's one offensive lineman that I saw on there that was kind of interesting to me, and that was Jonah Savahinaya out of Arizona, because he's very Mike Upati-ish. And I think that he's got more athleticism. And I don't know if they would actually go offensive line here if they hadn't went defensive tackle. But this is kind of the range, right, where you're getting that potential left guard starter that can come in and compete. And I think you could easily put him at right guard and flip Dominic Pooney to left guard and feel like you've got some talent there. So Savahinaya would make sense. I do think if we're going defensive line, Joshua Farmer makes the most sense to me. And we haven't went defensive line besides the very first pick where we went edge rush. So we do have to go interior defensive line, which we know Kyle does really like to address. So I think Farmer's the pick. I just wanted to talk about Savahinaya because I do think he could potentially be a possibility in round three.
Oh, I love it. I love it. We're going Josh Farmer, defensive tackle. We teed up that pick earlier in the show. We had no choice. We had no choice. And so if you do wait on defensive tackle and you're able to get a Joshua Farmer in the third, that's part of this process and why I wanted to do this. If you told me you got Shamar Stewart, Jaden Higgins, and Joshua Farmer, that's not awful. Like, is this how I want it to go? Hell no. Would I any of these three picks? Maybe Joshua Farmer I would sign off on. But I'm like, man, you got three good players with elite upside. All three of these guys are like, man, if they hit, you're talking Pro Bowl level players. All of them could hit that. They haven't, but they could. So here we are. Now we're going running back. I'm not even going to look at other positions. We're at pick 99, and we are drafting a running back. No ifs, ands, buts about it. Here's who we got. Oh, geez. Devin Neal, Jadon Blue. Yeah, you knew who I saw. Bashel Tootin, Breshad Smith, Ja'Cory Cross-Kamara, another late-round guy that I think fits us very, very well. Jarquez Hunter, ETN, Taj Brooks. Who are we taking right here? We're taking a running back. Your pick of the litter, my friend.
I know that it comes down to Blue and Tootin. I think that those guys are very 49ers-esque, and they're the two of the fastest running backs that there is in this draft. I prefer Tootin to Blue, but I can't say that Shanahan would prefer Tootin to Blue, because Blue is the Raheem Mostert-esque player. He comes from Texas. I just think that, you know, a scout could sell this just by looking at Kyle and saying, he comes from Texas, Kyle. And it's just like, yeah, that's it. That puts us over the edge. But they both have fumble concerns. I just like the contact balance of Tootin a little bit better. So I think that he translates more to being able to break tackles and get extra yardage. But I think Blue would probably be the pick between the two because of the elite speed. And I think Kyle has missed out on some of those guys like Devin Achane and others where Miami's kind of jumped over and taken them. So he'd want to get his guy here.
Right. And shout out to Paul. He says, running back, you say, John. Yeah, your guy Camp Scatabu's gone. They both fumble a lot. And actually, I just looked at my ranks. I have Tootin, Jarquez Hunter, Jadon Blue as my fourth round running backs with Cam Scatabu in that fourth round as well. I know that might upset some people. But yeah, these guys all fumble, but we're going Jadon Blue. Oh, man. That's what we got. That's what we got right there. So we got a wide receiver. We got a running back. Kyle's happy. We got an edge. We got a defensive tackle. We got two more fourth round picks. What are we thinking here?
It's interesting because normally I would say I just saw Jeffrey Bossa, so I'd be like, okay, Jeffrey Bossa's there. We haven't went offensive line yet, right? This is kind of a spot where you could go offensive tackle that could slide to guard. So potentially find, you know, one of those guys in this area. You could still go ahead and get another player that could help you on the interior defensive line. So I think it's interesting when you get to this part. There's Chase Lunt, who for me would be the quintessential 49ers pick when it comes to offensive line. The guy that plays right tackle, that his elite trait is winning in space. I mean, this guy just absolutely wins on the second level at a high level. And so I like him out in space. He gives me Mike McGlinchey vibes when he's out running in space. He doesn't have a good anchor, Mike McGlinchey-esque. He's very big and tall. I do think he's got developmental skills. And when you're talking fourth round, right, that's what you're trying to get, somebody that you eventually could develop into a starting right tackle. I think he could be the eventual replacement for Mike McGlinchey. So I think he would make a lot of sense here.
Yeah, and again, this is not what we would do draft. This is a wild card WTF draft, and we wanted to see what it would look like when it was all said and done. I think Chase Lunt makes sense. I'm cool with this pick. We got an offensive lineman. At least it's something, and we have one more pick before we wrap up this crazy nightmare that is our life in this stepping into Kyle Shanahan's brain. I don't like it. So, man, you want to get another Quinn Ewers? You know Kyle likes him. I am so out on Quinn Ewers. Any other names or positions you're kind of looking? Man, another wide receiver? What would Kyle Shanahan do here? Kyle Williams is there. That's a pretty good pick. There's no way he's there in the fourth, though.
No.
Yeah, you got to get a tight end.
Yeah, this is where it's interesting, right? You've seen Jurecek was there. You know, there are some tight ends now that they could potentially hit on. I think that would make a lot of sense if you went that direction. You don't have linebacker, but we know the 49ers, especially during the Robert Saleh days, were willing to go linebacker way later, right? Fifth round and beyond, and get guys that could make some plays. So I think if I was going to go two different positions, cornerback would be one of those, or tight end. I think corner or tight end probably make the most sense in this area.
Yeah, corner, again, the 49ers met with the most corners out of any position group. Some guys that are here. We got Zay Alexander, Quincy Riley, O'Donnell, Denzel. I love Denzel Burke, man. John Marshall, decent. Tommy, all right. Jabbar, all right. I think my highest guy is Denzel Burke. Where did I have him? Yeah, I have a fourth round grade on Denzel. He's by far the highest. I have a fourth round on Zay. I really like Denzel Burke just because he's so tough. He blows up screens, aggressive, you know, a little lanky, but has played multiple years. Had some starts as a true freshman at Ohio State. Like, he's got the pedigree. Any thoughts on any of these corners?
Yeah, interesting that, you know, you were kind of there with Robert Longerbeam from Rutgers. Is a player that I've come onto lately that I'm a fan of. Now, when you talk about his physicality, he's willing to be very physical, but he's 175 pounds, but he has elite drive on the football. I mean, this guy is, when that foot, back foot hits the ground, he fires forward. A lot of pass defense on timing. So when you're talking about a guy that's good in coverage, he's one of those guys. And then when you talk about the guy from South Carolina, Fortune, I think he's one of the better zone corners in this draft. So those are two guys kind of in that area with Denzel Burke that I like. I think there's a lot of talent at the cornerback position. This is actually a really good spot to hit corner. I like Denzel Burke as well. I just thought I would highlight a couple of guys sitting there and what their traits are. But I wouldn't be disappointed if we got Denzel Burke here. He was a guy I liked very early in the process.
Yeah, I and it's funny because you brought up Robert Longerbeam. I did 330 players. He ain't one of them. And so, like, it doesn't matter how many you do, there's always going to be one. But yeah, Denzel Burke, you like him, I like him, we're going corner here. There we go. So in our WTF draft, which I do not like, I'm not posting this on social media. I don't like it. Look at the grades: C+, B+, D-, C, D. I hate this draft. I hate it, but it's not awful. Like, we always get those picks. You remember whenever they picked, I don't even want to say his name, the Illinois wide receiver in the first round at pick 31. And I was like, what the, what? And then, you know, you start watching tape and you're like, okay, I guess I can see what they see. And you try to talk yourself into it. And you're like, all right, like I could, that's what this draft would be. I understand why the 49ers would take Shamar Stewart early. Yeah, you're talking about a guy, if he hits, he is an all-pro defensive end, the most athletic. You're talking Myles Garrett athleticism, actually a little better than Myles Garrett. Jaden Higgins, I mean, the dude's built. My comp for Jaden Higgins is Josh Gordon. Like, he's that big, that physical, that fast. Joshua Farmer, plug and play, could be a starter in the third round. Jaden Blue, Raheem Mostert, Chase Lunt, developmental Mike McGlinchey that you got in the fourth round. And Denzel Burke, he's your number three corner right off the bat. You are better than you are now with these players. But, man, it's not fun to look at.
No, I think with every one of these picks, except for maybe Higgins and probably Lunt, you're looking at these guys and you're like, man, we could have got somebody better, right? There's somebody with more value. Like with Shamar Stewart, I'd rather have Mike Green or, you know, or another player that can make an impact, even an interior defensive lineman like Walter Nolan. You know, I think that there's a lot of guys that I'd rather have a Derek Harmon than him there because of the production. You just don't see it. It doesn't translate. And so now that's the thing that makes me the most nervous is the 49ers have struck out in the first round, and now we're going to put all of our eggs into the basket of a developmental or potential, you know, what could be projection. That makes me nervous, where the 49ers have looked at more production and more consistent playing time as a reference to make a draft pick. I think that's probably the reason they end up not going Shamar Stewart. But if ever there was a guy that you're like, if I could get my hands on this guy, he could be a 10 plus sack guy every single year. And that's one of the reasons I think it makes sense in a crazy draft scenario that he could go, but I wouldn't like it. The Higgins one though, I can't lie. I love Jaden Higgins. He's one of my favorite wide receivers in this draft. And so if he came to the 49ers, I think 43 seems a little early, but I wouldn't be shocked if he goes in this range. I said yesterday on my show, I thought between 33 and 45 is kind of the spot for Higgins. So if the Niners were going to get him, I think that's probably where he goes, because he's the most Tet McMillan wide receiver that you're going to find in this draft.
Yeah. And man, again, let's go back to Shamar Stewart. 3-year starter, 1.5 sacks his first year, 1.5 sacks his second year, 1.5 sacks his third year. Never even hit 2 sacks. Never even hit 2 sacks. You look at tackle for losses, 4 first year, 2 second year, 6. Like, there's non-production, and then there's this guy. Like, it is just, I don't know, man. Donovan Azeroku had more sacks in a quarter than this guy had in 2 years combined. In a quarter. In one quarter, I just can't do it, man.
I love Azeroku a lot more than Shamar Stewart, yeah, for sure. I think he's better. I like a guy like Ashton Jelotti a lot more.
I like him too.
I like JT Tuimoloau. I think he's a better player as well. Do you just see the production with those guys? And if you look at Shamar Stewart, none of those sacks happen after week 6. None in any of those seasons. Once you get to week 6, done with production. If ever there was a what-if guy, like what if he would have got there 1 second early, it's Shamar Stewart. And I think that that's one of the things that frustrates 49er fans already. We feel like our defensive line is always just almost there, right? And everyone talks about hurries being an important stat. He's the hurry master. That's just what he does. He's always just a little bit short of getting home, which is crazy with the athletic profile that he has.
And also, I will say this, he's worse in the fourth quarter. Like, you're that athletic. Man, you watched that tape against, Mimbu in Missouri. Dude's getting pancaked at the end of the fourth. And pass pro. How do you get pancaked in pass pro? Like, what is happening here? So, like, man, I just could not be. If you took Shamar Stewart at 43, I could talk myself into it a little bit better. I could stomach it better. But even then, it's a reach. I have him rated, like, I think it's in the 60s. But, yeah, he's going early. He's going early right here. Bid Stewart's pass rush win rate is less than half of James Pierce. Half. Yeah. James Pierce. Yeah. I'm higher on James Pierce than anybody else I know. I actually think James Pierce is great. But again, now we're back to where this show started, Ant. Character issues. Coach is talking about, why isn't he in the weight room? Not there for voluntary stuff. Shows up late. All that stuff. Ah, that's rough. So I think that this was a good exercise, even though I don't feel good right now, Ant. So thank you very, very much. I don't feel great. I blame you. This was Ant's idea. It was not Ant's idea. It was mine. But maybe we set the floor. That's the goal. I didn't know that was the goal, but the floor is set. It's going to be better than that, right? It has to be better than that.
Yeah, there's talent that, you know, I think the 49ers are going to take that is going to make this draft a lot better. I think that they have a certain way of drafting now that they've kind of honed in on. And I think that they got a strategic plan that they're going to execute. And I don't think it involves too many guys that you have to project that largely with. I think they're going to be more guys who are more consistent, you know, and consistency is the key. That's what they're looking for. That's why they got Renardo Green. That's why they got Ricky Pearsall. And that's why they got Malik Mustafa, Dominic Pooney. These were guys who showed consistency. They waited for projection until round four. Isaac Arendo, Jacob Cowing. Those guys were guys maybe projection that you could see out there that had more potential than maybe what you thought they could be right away. And I think that's how the 49ers are going to draft in this. So expect somebody that's more consistent in round one and less projection like Shamar Stewart.
Yeah. Look at this break at 80. He says, John, I hate the Stewart pick. I'm with you there, man. I'm worried that Kyle and have a Latu or third round running back bust moment or moments. Please pass the Tums. Yeah. I'll say this. If you had a 50% hit rate, you would be the best drafter of the NFL. We're going for like a 40%, right? We got 11 picks. If you hit on four like you did last year, you're going to be all right. Now, the problem is this isn't last year's roster. You cut so much. Not only did you just lose in free agency, you cut or traded away. We're down 8 starters, and you replaced zero. Zero starters replaced. If you get 4, all right, cool. You replaced half of the starters you lost. Now you're asking your depth guys to step up into situations, but you were one of the worst depth teams in the NFL last year. So you've just – my upsetness with the ownership in the front office this entire offseason is because of this, with where the 49ers are now. Can't do anything to change it. Whatever, whether you think it's great that you lost all these guys to replace zero, awesome, that's great. No problems, but here's where you are now. You have 11 draft picks, and you need to hit like a 75% success rate to fill the team this year. That's not realistic. It's not realistic at all. And if you walked out of this draft with 4 contributors similar to last year where you had Pearsall, Mustafa, Pooney, and Renardo, would you be happy?
I would. I think that anytime you get 4 starters potentially in a draft, that it's a successful draft. And I think if you now you're pairing that with last year, so that means you've got 8 starters over the last 2 years. I think that's potential. And who knows what happens with Tatum Bethune? There's a chance he could start at Sam linebacker. And I think as long as his coverage skills got better, he's going to be equipped to handle the role. So I do think that there's a potential that they got some guys ready to step in. We've talked about this for a while. They drafted Renardo Green for this situation of Charvarius Ward moving on. They drafted D. Winters with the hope that eventually he would replace Dre Greenlaw. They knew that this was coming at some point. I think the problem is when you look at certain positions like defensive line, there's not those heir apparents. There's no those guys that aren't ready to start. I think those are the biggest question marks. But I think they have a lot of young guys they're willing to count on. And let's remember, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, one of their favorite things that they like to say, they wish the draft happened before free agency. So they're looking at this now with some of the veterans that are still there and out in the open. We can go into the draft, see as many spots as we can handle in the draft, and what we can't, let's go out and spend a little bit of money. And I think that's what Jed York is referring to, getting some of these players later. You know, maybe a CJ Mosley if we don't get the linebacker that we're looking for, or go get, you know, somebody else that can play corner, a Band-Aid type player like Stephon Gilmore for a year. There are things like that you can do that could help your team this year, but they're going to wait to go through the draft first before they address those needs, which is smart because it also doesn't affect your compensatory formula. So you still get all those draft picks as well. So I think they think this is a chess move. And if it pays off, bravo to them. If it doesn't, we're all going to ask why they went into the draft with some of the holes that they went, especially along the defensive line.
Yeah. And I'm not one of those that wanted big time spending. Yeah. At center, I did. That was about it. I was actually out. I didn't like the Bosa idea very much at all. I thought there were better, cheaper players. But like the fact that you literally signed no anybody, that's the issue. Now, one player, before we get out of here, this might be the last one. Niner Fan 57 says, I like Sawyer. Talking Jack Sawyer, defensive end, Ohio State. Sometimes you have to count the playmaking ability, even if he looks stiff. I struggle with what to do with Jack Sawyer, but one of my favorite things, and this happens every single year, there's always one player that he's my test. If I want to see offensive tackle and if I like them or not, I want to see him play against Jack Sawyer. The problem is he showed every single one of them up. Nobody looks good when they play against Jack Sawyer. Nobody. Like, so I'm lower on Jack Sawyer, but he makes everybody ahead of him look bad. Like, whoever he plays, whether it's a tight end or a tackle or a guard, like, you see 33 out there, he just wrecks shop. And so I do think, you know, at the beginning of the draft process, people were like second round, early second round. He's been talked out of that. Now he's kind of a third, fourth round guy. But, man, football players are football players are football players. We have the underwear Olympics. I would take Shamar Stewart. I would prefer Jack Sawyer in the second round over Shamar Stewart in the second round. My rankings don't reflect that. But I know I'm getting a football player, not an athlete. What are your thoughts on Jack Sawyer?
Yeah, I like Jack Sawyer. I think that the question marks about him for me are about the hip flexibility, the ankle flexibility, right? Being able to bend the corner at the NFL level. And yeah, he's going against some of the best offensive tackles, but what's he going to look like against the best offensive tackles in the NFL? I think that's one of the question marks, but I think there's tremendous value there. And this is screams 49ers guy, a guy that's had great production, who's consistent, who works hard, who's got a motor. This is just one of those guys that comes in and competes. And all of a sudden you look over and he's got 8 sacks in the season. He's just a consistent contributor for your football team. So I like Jack Sawyer. I thought he was going to probably go late round 2. Now I've seen projections with him going all the way into the 3rd round, but I think there's teams that are going to value that type of player. And he kind of screams 49ers-esque. They're lately what they've been doing. Guys who are can't miss prospects. He's going to get on a team and he's going to produce in some manner. I feel like this is a Niner guy, a Pittsburgh Steeler guy, like one of those just constantly competes and has all the effort to make plays. So I like him, but I think when you look at the physical tools, you do have to weigh projection-wise what he could be. Maybe we've already seen he's got a, you know, a high floor, but probably a low ceiling compared to some of the other guys, including his teammate, JT Tuimoloau.
Yeah, it's so funny because I feel like the defensive tackle class has gotten most of the attention. And yeah, you've got Abdul Carter and Mike Green, but man, this edge, second, third round, I have more edges ranked in the first and second round than I do defensive tackles. Like, there are so many edge players. And so Jack Sawyer, I don't think you can get him at 100, as I saw in the chat. I would be very happy with that. I have a third round grade on him, but I don't think he's going to be there at 75. I just don't think that he's going to let. If he did, I'd be very, very happy with that. But we'll see. Perhaps a low ceiling player, but I don't know, man. I don't know about that. You look at guys like Sam Hubbard, and, you know, again, Ohio State white guy. I'm not trying to like pencil that in, but high production, high volume, multiple years production, team captain, great first the run, great first the pass, shows up in the biggest moments in the biggest games. I don't know, man. I'll take that over projection all day, every day. Not saying you should take Sawyer at 11, but sure as hell don't take Shamar. Anything that we could look forward to in your show or your Patreon coming up soon?
Yeah, I mean, I continue to do my breakdowns over on Patreon. So if you want to check those out, we're over 40 breakdowns over on Patreon now, breaking down all different kinds of positions, continuing to try to get through those. Also, you know, my top 10s for each position, I'm going to start really, you know, putting those things out because I'm starting to build my big board. I haven't even built my big board yet. I've been going through all the process still, but this is the next process. And then, of course, I'm going to put out another mock draft at some point. I don't know. I've been trying to space them out. I've only done 3 total, now 4, including this one. So I'm going to have another one coming out. I think I'm going to put it out tomorrow. So come check that out. And as some people said in chat, they do go a little crazy because I like different opinions. So I haven't drafted the same guy at 11 anytime. I haven't had a draft that looks the same at all because I want to have the conversation around the players that are in that category. So I think it's a lot of fun, and I'm kind of planning on doing some crazy stuff with the mock draft that I do next.
I love it. Don't count this one as one of your mocks. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it warranted that. It was this was a therapeutic exercise. Oh, shout out to the man, David V, member for 43 months. How cool is that, man? Way to go. Support the Cutback crew, 49ers Cutback. Go subscribe over there if you haven't yet. That's what everybody needs to go do right now. This show is over. We are ending. Go type in 49ers Cutback wherever you're watching, listening to this. Hit subscribe. It's too damn good. It's too damn good. Ant, you are incredible. I appreciate you, even though that mock sucked. That's okay. Not your fault. My fault. But to everybody else, thank you guys so much. Hope that you have a wonderful rest of your day. And as always, stay strong, faithful.